Pisces. Your old friend Eric Francis back with you with two astrology afterthoughts, both related to Saturn square Neptune. Thought one is, if you feel like you're in some territory where you are being expected to achieve the impossible, or where you on some level are actually doing it, you're in the right place for a Saturn square Neptune. There is an alchemy to this aspect that is very much the essence of the thing, and part of that alchemy is combining elements that would not normally combine, or having to blend concept and form in a way that's extremely challenging, but is ultimately doable and is possibly going to lead to some very exciting places. The second thing I would just call your attention to is that both Saturn and Neptune are in signs ruled by Jupiter. This is an important way to think astrologically. Here's how the logic would run. Saturn's in Sag. Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter. Neptune is in Pisces. The traditional ruler of Pisces is Jupiter. Modern ruler is Neptune, but I like to go in order of operations, which is the order of history. And forever, in six Sundays, Jupiter was the ruler of Pisces. And so we have Saturn and Neptune in this square aspect, and they are united by a common planet, that planet being Jupiter. Jupiter is currently in Leo, in your sixth house. And so Jupiter embodies the whole thing. That whole square of Saturn and Neptune is embodied by one planet, because the rulerships point straight to Jupiter. And Jupiter is in good form in Leo. There's a lot of authority and creativity and benefit from the focus and work of the sixth house. And additionally, Jupiter is going to make a big move. It's going to move into your seventh. It's going to become angular. It's going to oppose your sun for a long time through much of the Saturn-Neptune square. And that provides what to me seems like a form of materialization. And so if those two planets, Neptune and Saturn, appear to be difficult to mix and to blend, think of it this way. They're already blended in the form of this, you might think, golden Jupiter currently in Leo. And that golden Jupiter in Leo is going to transform late this summer and take up its residence in Virgo, where it becomes, to you, much more tangible. It manifests in the form of relationships. And by the way, that relational manifestation can include business partnerships, personal partnerships, and relationships to the public, which in an odd way can be described by the seventh house. It is as if it is rising above your personal horizon. All right, I've got some tarot cards here. And by the way, mull that over. And sometimes it takes a couple of explanations to do that. This is not that hard to see, and it just requires stretching your astrological thinking to what you might think of as an advanced level, where you're looking at not the planets in the signs only, or the planets in aspect to each other, which is easy enough to understand. We've got Saturn in Sag and Neptune in Pisces. But then there's this third layer, this abstract layer, where they are represented by the planet that rules those signs. So Jupiter has two signs in common, both of which are involved. Those two signs have Jupiter in common. It might be less interesting were Jupiter not so prominently placed in your chart for this year. Getting ready to move right up on that seventh house, which is an astrological way of saying emphasis, clarity, loud, accessible, available. Thump. All right, let's pull out some tarots here. See what comes out of the Rita. All right, I'm going to draw the cards face down. I've used this Celtic Wings spread that is explained somewhere on the homepage. Scan that homepage of your reading carefully. There's all kinds of little juicy things, including an extended description of your sign and access to last year's reading. Go back in time 1 year, and if everything's rigged up correctly, last year's reading should link to the previous year's reading in case you're home on Saturday afternoon and don't have a lot of other things calling for your attention. You can take a little trek back through your astrology. Another way, by the way, to do that is to use the Intelligent Archive and Oracle that is available to core community members, and that is a truly beautiful tool because you can home in on any week or month going back to 1999. Kind of incredible. Okay, got the cards out here. Okay, now remember that the Wandless Tarot, which I'm using, the Voyager deck, does not directly correspond to the traditional tarot. It's its own thing. And the card of what you want. Fourth position is what I turn over first, and that is the Woman of Crystals. James has named this card the Guardian, and she definitely appears to be powerful, contemplative, safe. The persistent image is faceted jewels. She's holding a kind of a diamond. She's got a diamond on, like a ginormous bindi, and then there are various faceted crystals throughout the entire card. So there's an implication here of the cosmic order. There is a there's protection in the form of what you might think of as a spiritual protection, but it's very organized and tangible. It's solid. Okay, so in the official first position, we get the sun. And this is one of those cards that says everything is cool. There are certain cards throughout the decks, that I think of as being reassuring entirely, and even if one card of this nature shows up in what's otherwise a very challenging spread, that one card points the way. Okay, this surrounds you and is in the process of leaving. There we get the Fear card. That's a good thing to be leaving behind. The implication here is that you are, it looks rather direct, in an environment where you are protected and supported and moving from a place of fear to a place of love and sanity and safety. Similarly, the recent past card, card number two, is negativity, a form of fear. And that too is saying, okay, that is in the past, and now we are going to go forward. Okay, in the what comes next, I'm going to leave this card reversed. It is the setback card, Five of Worlds. And here, I'm going to read this as saying that you must always look for the silver lining in whatever it is that is happening. Every challenge must be met with the silver lining, that you look for the way that you can benefit, learn something, gain something, or flip the situation around. And if you do, I'm drawing a second card here, get the Two of Worlds, reflection, and the implication is look for the manifestations of your own mental posture or attitude in that seeming setback or expectation of failure. Change your mental outlook as quickly as you can. I'm aware this can be challenging. It is challenging for people with very strong water signs to change viewpoints on a dime because water does not work that way. Water is more of something that needs to be flushed and flow through and take its time to replenish itself. But you have the power to transcend that with your mind and make a conscious choice to have a better, more workable viewpoint. Now, in the position that is associated with resistance, get the card of commencement. And I would propose here that you want to check every beginning and not let yourself resist the necessity to begin. Your time of much, newness and revival of your talents and your energy. And I would say, note the beginning, keep the balances correct, and take a step back and appreciate the fact that you are indeed at a beginning. Okay, Five of Worlds comes up a second time inverted in the relationship position. So here, this is talking about dealing with disappointments involving other people and dealing with the narrowness and negativity of other people. And there's a very strong caution here not to allow the negativity or the mental outlook, should it turn out to be not entirely positive, influence you. So there is a necessity here to separate yourself from your environment and from your relationships and stand above, stand strong, basically. In today's Pisces horoscope, by the way, Sally Brompton writes something to the effect of, anyone who stands in your way will not be standing for long. She can be pretty funny. Kind of sum that up. And so you therefore must tap into your sense of protection, your grit, your determination, your strength, your faith, your belief in your own plan, your concept, or whatever on God's green earth is driving you. And the card that replaces this somewhat staticky energy is another version of the sun. By the way, I use two decks merged into one deck. And so there are great rewards here for dealing with negativity, be it your own or that of someone else, in a constructive and a creative way. All right, outcome at present course and speed. Okay, the card that's coming up is the Seven of Crystals, dullness. The indication here is that you may be letting others influence your state of mind too much. The Abraham materials warn about this all the time and say, really, you put too much into your relationships. You put too much emphasis on what others think or how they might help you, and this is a setup. The card that trumps this is Child of Worlds, player, and the corollary attitude to any sensation of dullness or monotony that you may have is to jump back into the game. Remember, there's a large game element to everything on this planet, and playing the game is much more important than winning the game. And they're very similar, though. The better you play, the more of a chance you have to win. The more you play for fun, the more of a chance you have to win. And to remember, should you feel any form of boredom at all, wake yourself up and get into that fifth house type state of mind. Okay, last card in the spread, the very bottom, the summary, we get the Man of Wands, the player. Actor. Player was the previous card. That's the Child of Worlds. I think of the actor card as the one who takes action. Now, one thing, so that would be you, of course. Now, one thing about this spread is that it's a little light on the Trump cards. We really have two, which are in the form of two versions of the sun. Two different copies of that card have come up in the spread. And the sun is, since we really only have one archetype from the Trumps, that is refining the message down. And one of the themes of that message is that your state of mind must trump the state of mind of the people around you, that you that kind of rule one of the game that you're playing is to not get caught up in the attitudes and values of others that do not serve you. And the way to do that is, in the words of Crowley, the sun represents the freedom that brings sanity, or conversely, the sanity that brings freedom. So the message of the sun, and I do love this. I've read a lot of commentaries on this card, and I think this is the most memorable of them for me, is that there's an equation between being sane and being free. And it's up to you to maintain your sanity. That can be very challenging in this world. It can be challenging in this world of many challenges. And I would just suggest that you devote yourself to this concept of sanity as freedom and freedom as sanity. I'm going to draw one last card and put that above the whole spread, and that card is the Child of Crystals. So a lot of children are coming out in this, and a lot of people are coming out in this spread. And that, of course, is a two-edged thing, right? Because people have the ability to help, and they also have the ability to kind of influence you in ways that may not be that helpful. The Child of Crystals is you also. It's a reminder that you are here to learn. And in addition to playing Child of Worlds, one approach to take to pretty much everything is that of the one who is the curious learner, and for whom this world was given to you as a place to play, as a place to explore. And of course, for children, working, playing, and learning are all the same thing. And I would suggest that that be the approach that you take. And when in doubt, just come back to your what seems to be a prevailing state of protection that is over you. And that protection is not merely something passive, but it's something that you can access, seek out, reach for, ask for, communicate with, in an active way. And the more you remember that protection, the more you will feel it, and the more you will have access to it. This, by the way, concludes 5 years of doing birthday readings. I began in April with the Aries reading, April of 2010, and now it is March of 2015, hard to imagine, half a decade, 60, I guess, of these readings, 60 times reading the Wandless Tarot, the Voyager Tarot, and a great pleasure to do this onward and always. Music, by the way, was composed and performed by Casey Smith, somebody who works in my office, who, as you can hear, is quite a fabulous improviser and composer. And thank you, Casey, for that. All right, I'll wish you a happy birthday. I will look forward to seeing you in the Talk to Me session, so check your email for that. We'll get that scheduled up as soon as possible, possibly as soon as, well, I'm going to try to do it with the sun in Pisces, if that's remotely possible, but I may be taking a day or two off for my birthday, so that would be the first week that the sun is in Aries. You have lots and lots and lots of Aries in your chart, so we'll tap into that second house energy and I look forward to seeing you there. If you have any questions for me, definitely drop me a note at dreams@planetwaves.net. If I don't reply right away, send the note again the next day, and I'm likely to see it. Once again, thanks for being here. A pleasure to serve you. Bye for now.